It is the open line, Johan in Capri. How are you doing, Johan?
Well, thanks, and you, Lester.
Very good. You want to talk about the sense of hypervigilance that follows us as South Africans?
Yes, I sent in the voice note. It was a bit long, so your producer asked to get me on the line. Thanks for that. I caught the tail end of your last guest talking about the open bombardment of, you know, constant, I forget the term she used. I quite liked it, doom scrolling.
Mm.
And I was just struck by, I mean, just last night I had a dream that involved a large mob that were at the gates, and I felt my family was threatened. I was trying to, you know, go through the process of speaking to them, et cetera, and that just spoke to me of just what your caller was saying, that on a subconscious level, mm. all the stuff going on is, I think, affecting us all in different ways.
Mm.
My point I wanted to make, though, was in 2004, I spent 3 years in the UK, mm. and I noticed after the first about 6 months, the sense of constant hypervigilance that yeah. I had left me. I could remember the moment I just stopped looking left, right, over my shoulder, you know, and I noticed, oh, wow, I feel safer.
Yeah.
And then 3 years when I returned back off the airport, I could feel the moment I landed again. It just came straight back.
Mm.
And a couple of years ago, I heard someone actually, they gave it a term in South Africa. They call it being bokkie. And I found that so relative, because being bokkie, they say if you look in nature at a wild animal, mm. it's constantly looking, it's grazing, it's looking up, it's looking mm. right where the predator is. Then it grazes again, it looks up, it looks right. And it's an animalistic sense of being aware of predators.
Mm.
And I think as South Africans, that was just a term that I relate to quite strongly.
It's fascinating. Like if I were to go for a lunch with my mum or my wife, and we're particularly sitting in an outdoor space, regardless of where we were and what establishment we'd go to, you know, you would map out where, who's going to sit where, and your handbag like on the table,
yeah.
You know, wrapped around the chair, with, when you walk out in public. I would walk down Long Street and I would look down, you know, 20, 30, 40 meters down the road,
yeah.
just
yeah.
to assess whatever is happening. And that could be in Long Street or it could be anywhere. And I have a friend who lives in, I think it's Shenzhou in China, and he's lived there for quite some time. And he lives in a city, what I think it's about 13 or 15 million people. So there's a mm. lot of bustle around him. And he said it was only when he returned back to South Africa that he realized all of a sudden my shoulders are hunched up again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I'm in a defensive stance wherever I go. So it's often we have to go outside the borders of this country to realize just
yeah.
how much, you know, PTSD and, you know, and vigilance, hypervigilance that we go through.
Yes. I did a radio interview some years ago with Albert Fritz, and he said something that really struck me. We were talking about ways in which we as citizens can be more active and improve the situation. It was during the time soldiers were being deployed onto the Cape Flats.
Mm.
And he said, we don't need soldiers. We need trauma counselors.
Mm.
Send in social workers and trauma counselors to help address the decades of trauma that's taken place. And I think the degree of trauma is also determined, and this is just my opinion, based on the, to a degree, that the degree of privilege that with which we are blessed. For example, I have a friend who lives in Elsie's River, and his degree of what you just described is quite different to my own. Like I will check my phone on the table. I will check, as you said, 40 meters down the road. In certain areas there, it's the question of, well, are bullets going to come flying through my living room and hit my kid? And, you know, again, speaking for myself, it's a terrible thing, but the degree of violence in this country and rioting has almost become for me like a weather report. We wake up in the morning and it's like, okay, raining, cloudy, with a chance of rubber bullets in this mm. area. Take a different route to get to work.
Yeah.
And it's insane. Just the degree of trauma that I think with which we live, depending where we live,
mm.
it's like a mode of survival.
You're very right. Protests, service delivery protests have become traffic reports in South Africa.
Yes.
Avoid the N2 at Borchards Quarry.
Yes.
Find an alternative route. And it doesn't say why people are protesting there or what
no.
are the underlying reasons there.
No, and a friend in the States asked me last week, well, what are the recent protests in South Africa about? And I said to him, well, it's both simple and complex, and it was too much to go into. But the events of the last week for myself, I try and push as much of this aside as I can for a simple self-preservatory measure to cope with life. Mm. The events of the last week I found touched me more deeply than any other. I think it was, you know, many of my suppliers in Durban had their warehouses burned to the ground, looted, you know, real harsh stuff. And if supplies were difficult because of COVID, we're now facing, in my industry anyway, a case where we're looking at stuff not coming in until September, October. Mm. It's really affecting, and that's just, again, that's more of a luxury problem, not talking about the bread trucks which can't be delivered. And, yeah, the events of the last week I found, as I said, quite more traumatic than usual. Mm. I'm choosing to look at it in an optimistic manner because, and this is just my choice, in that I think before things get worse, before things get better, they usually get a bit worse. If an addict goes to recovery, you take away the drugs, there has to be that detox. Mm. And I think for us, Zuma and his supporters would go quietly into that proverbial gentle night would be naive. Mm. I think that this is predictable. It has to happen. Like a plaster being pulled off the wound or whatever. I just hope that we can get through it. But I believe the days of thinking politicians and outside organizations, to quote the editor of Daily Maverick in a recent letter, are gone. You know, it's no longer getting involved is difficult. It's get involved as individuals or we're completely screwed. We really are at a point where, as individuals, I think we need to, speaking for myself, look at what we can do. Yeah.
Definitely. Johan, thank you so much for your contribution. I really, really appreciate it.